So I think we got.
Adam is great, right?
Yeah.
if we would learn only Torah, genius. It's genius now, but if we would only put his time into that.
Right. Okay. So we're at the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Beis. I think that the very last line, the Mishnah you got to, I assume, right? So the Mishnah says, Mikare Yerushalayim. Mikare means the Yachir, the Chashuvah, says Rashi, the important members of Yerushalayim, Hayu Malavin Oso Ad Sukkah. Harishonah. So who's also the guy who's the ish iti, the one who's bringing the shtar l'azazel? The kohen takes the goat. So they would escort him from Yerushalayim until he gets to the first sukkah. What do you mean the first sukkah?
So the guy that brings the shtar l'azazel after he was goral l'azazel or before?
Yeah, after the goral, okay. It's his time to send it off the cliff.
Okay.
He starts going with the goat. He's being escorted by a number of the chashuvei Yerushalayim. Are all walking with him.
And he's not necessarily a kohen.
But they said the Mishnah said we only let a kohen do it anyways. Yeah, I think that Mishnah said that, right? Even though anybody could do it, they only let a kohen do it anyways. So the Gemara says they would escort him ad sukkah rishona, to the first sukkah. And the Mishnah explains, what do you mean the first sukkah? There were eser sukkos Yerushalayim ba'ad suk. There were 10 sukkahs set up from Yerushalayim up until the suk, until the cliff. And the Gemara, the Mishnah explains further that the distance between them was tishim ris, which was a measurement.
Yeah.
That's how much there was. So if you do the math, it's shiva umechzel chol mil. So
that,
exactly, which ends up being 12 mil. Right? 12 mil, 7.5 per mil ends up being 12 mil in tishim ris. That's 12 times 7.5 is 90. Kol sukkah v'sukkah, between each sukkah. So what happened was there was a mil, there was one mil to the first sukkah, a one mil to the next sukkah, and then from the last sukkah to the sukkah was 2 mil, actually, Rashi tells us.
Which is shiva umechzel chol mil. So what did you say?
Each mil is 7.5 ris.
Yes.
Now there are a total of 12 mil.
Okay.
Why? So because
90.
Exactly.
90 divided by 12.
Right. How does that work? So there's 1 mil to the first sukkah.
Okay, I understand.
And then the next one's all mil. And then from the last sukkah to the tzuk was actually 2 mil.
But why there's 12 sukkahs?
Because Mishnah explains.
Okay.
So al kol sukkah v'suk, each sukkah he got to. Omrim lo, they had people actually who would stay there. They would go, as Rashi explained, they would go from before Shabbat, from before Yom Kippur. Rashi doesn't make the Gemara explains it. There are people who were in each sukkah, and omrim lo, they would say to this kohen, Hare mazon, hare mayim, here's some food, and remember it's Yom Kippur. Here's some food and water if you're, it's a very long walk, it's been a long time. If you need to eat something, you need to drink something here, this is something for you to take.
On Yom Kippur itself?
On Yom Kippur itself.
Well, they want to fail him.
So look at Rashi. Rashi explains Hare mayim, hare mazon.
הרי מים והרמזון, בגמרא מפרש, אינו דומה מי שיש לו פת בשלו למי שאין לו.
פת בשל means bread in the basket. Meaning, if you're starving, but if you know you have bread, if you won't be as nervous, as scared, if you know there's bread available for you. As opposed to if you're starving and you have no idea when your next meal is.
How do you understand that that's what Rashi means? Because even you need a Pirush and Rashi.
No, because once you learn a pas, that's what pas pasal means. If you come across that phrase, it's a phrase that's used in the Gemara. So, okay, so that's why he hears food and drink, and if he really needed to do it, he's allowed to eat it.
Right.
So he's actually allowed to eat it.
That's halakha.
Yeah. Wow. But no, it never came to the point where a person ever had to, because he was comfortable knowing that their food was there. If he needed to, that was enough to keep him over to walk the rest of the way. So the Mishnah continues and says, umilavin also misukkah lasukkah, and each member, each sukkah had people who were there. They would escort him to the very next sukkah. Chutz me'achron sheben, except for the last sukkah, she'ena magir imolotuk. That they let him go off by himself to the cliff, sends off the goat and comes back. He stands from a distance, the people at the last sukkah, and just look from 2 mil away, they see what goes on. So what would he do? The kohen gets to the cliff final. He has a goat. What's he supposed to do? So the Mishnah explains, Cholek Lashon Shel Zahuris. He had a little string. He spoke about this red string. Chetzo Havit Kasher B'Sela. He ties on the rock. V'chetzo Kasher B'Shnei Karnov. And this other, he ties on the two horns of the goat.
So it's a long one.
I guess it has some. Okay, not that long. Let's say it could be that long. half could probably fit around the rock, half could fit around the, not a big rock necessarily.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure this year. And the dach v'lachor, they take the goat and push the goat backwards off the cliff. Who miskalagel v'yored, he would, you know, turn, spin over. Lohaya magil chati har ad shenase ivar mevar. By the time we get halfway down the cliff, he ready. The goat was in bits and pieces. After that, bav yashav lo tacha sukkah acharam. At shetechshach, he'd walk back to that last sukkah until dark, and then he would go home. Who me emes I metam me begadim.
All the organizations for animal cruelty would approve such a
thing. Probably not. Probably not. So then a lot of things we do they would not approve.
Yeah.
The Pasuk says, Rashi quotes the Pasuk, the Pasuk says, you see that last Rashi in the Mishnah? He says, the Pasuk in Achrimo says, about Mishaleach, Esasayir, Ichavis Begadim. So he becomes, his clothing becomes Tameh. When does that happen? So the Mishnah explains, Mishayatza Chutz Lechomas Yushlaim. Once he leaves the walls of Yushlaim, then his clothing are already Tameh. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mishas, Dichyasa, looks like when he pushes him off, that's when he's going to become Tameh. So,
when Ricky comes?
I don't know. I'm not sure. This week he's supposed to be coming. So the Tosin Yisharim on the bottom asks, why did he make a sukkah and then 2 mil away he had to walk by himself? Why did he make a sukkah on the actual cliff? So the Tosin Yisharim on the side bottom says as follows, because they didn't want the people in the last sukkah to see, I mean, that red string, if they got kapar, would turn to white. They didn't want anybody to see that. So that's why the Tos says it's supposed
why
to be staying away. The Tos Yisham says this.
No, does it say it's someone in the Gemara that the spring's turning to white?
Yeah, it does. It says it here, actually.
So if it turns to white, so the Kohen sees it, and he doesn't share it with the people.
So the problem was there were certain times where it didn't turn to white, and they had so much Chalisha Sadas that they didn't get kapara, they thought better that they don't see what happens to the rest.
Even the Kohen?
The Kohen could see. The Kohen could see. But they didn't want to see public. So I guess he doesn't report back. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. So the Gemara says now. One other interesting halacha here, I guess. Two more interesting halachas here before we go on. The Tosin Shon on the bottom asks, how are you able to bring the string in the bottom? Tosin Shon here in the bottom, very small letters. So yeah.
Oh, so this is Rashi. This is Tosfot, and this is Tosfot Toshonim.
Yeah.
Meaning what?
It's a different Bali Tosos, a different author. We have a number of them, but some on certain Gemaras you have Tosfot
Toshonim.
Exactly.
This is it.
Yeah. So he asks on the bottom, how did the Kohen bring the string? There's no Erev. How did you carry the string to get to the cliff? So he said it must be that either he left it there from Erev Yom Kippur. He brought the string, left it there Erev Yom Kippur, and with the goat met it there, or he put the string on the neck of the goat and the goat carried it.
What's this?
Okay. So that's two ways he explains this. Now, on Shabbos, one can't do that. There's a problem of mechamer, which is using an animal to do an avoda. That's not allowed, carrying. So some say, but Yom Kippur, you'd be allowed to do that. Yom Kippur is different than Shabbos, some say. Okay, so let's go weiter now. Wow. Shalom Aleichem.
We need 2 minutes to digest.
Wow. It just happened. It's not just you.
And he looks like he's got more ripped also. I'm not sure if the vest is making you bulge more.
What? Not baby?
Where
have you been?
The guy's on the way. The man? Ready to go.
Down to the street, I know already.
It's not me. It's my boss.
Wow.
Once you reach that way, it's training.
Right.
It would be like all day long. It's just a little fun to us. It's 4 or 5 pounds a day.
Yeah, we'll push it.
Wow. Welcome. It's great to see you. I really like the vest. We just finished the Mishnah. Yeah.
I'll catch up in a second.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. Esther Sukos, Vishnemasar Milim Hayu, Divirai Meir. This Mishnah told us that there are 10 Sukos, and there are a total of 12 mil. So again, doing the quick math, to each of the first 10, it's 1, and then to the 10 to get to the last sukkah.
Then 2.
2 from the sukkah exactly until the cliff.
But it didn't say 90. Yes, it's 12.
Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and the Brises of Yehuda argues and says, Omer, Teisha sukkos vasar milin. They're actually 9 and 10 mil. So doing that math, there's 1 to each of the 9 sukkahs, and then only 1 from the last sukkah until the cliff. That gives us 10. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Chamesh sukkos vasar milin. How are you?
The Mishnah says one thing, which is...
Yeah, oftentimes Stam Mishnah means a Mishnah without an author is Rabbi Meir, unless the Gemara tells
so
otherwise.
Mishnah, how can they argue with you?
Now, this is a Brisa, so Brisa has the same status. The Brisa was written the same times. Sometimes the Brisa tells us more than the Mishnah. Brisa just lists opinions. The Mishnah wants to give us what the halacha is sometimes. So there are other opinions, but the Mishnah doesn't always quote all the different opinions.
Aha, I understand.
Okay, so the says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yossi Omer Chamesh Sukkos. There are actually only 5 Sukkos Vasar Milim Hayu, but there is a total of 10. So that allows us. How do we do the math here? Between each, and how much is there left over between the last Sukkah and the cliff? Let's see. Does Rashi say?
So if there was 5 Sukkos.
It can't be 2 to each, because that means then the last sukkah is going to be on the cliff. Let's see how they explain how the distance works.
Where
Rabbi Yossi, we're in the Gemara, that first Bryce is Tanya Rabbanan.
But what's the distance?
So Rabbi Yossi,
if
the third opinion.
Sukkot, what's the distance from one sukkah to the other?
So it depends. I'm saying if it's 2 mil, that would be simple math, would be 2 mil. 2 to the first one, 2 to the second one. That means the last 12, one, the fifth one will be on the cliff.
Yeah.
So,
but he says Vasara Milin.
Yes, I'm trying to figure out how it works.
So what is the Asara Milin? Maybe the difference between each one is Asara Milin. So, Chamesh Sukkot. And then the last one is on the 10th, meaning still you have 2 mil for the guy to go by himself.
Say that again?
Okay. It says Chamesh Sukkot Vasara Milin, meaning
right.
That between those 5 Sukkot, there was Asara Milin. We said we need 12 and a half mil.
No, there's a different opinion. No, this is it's only... First opinion said there were 12 mil from beginning to end. This says there are 10 mil from beginning to end.
Oh, so the distance from Yerushalayim to the Tzuk is different now.
Exactly, right.
Not the number of Sukkot.
Exactly. Well, also, both.
Also.
So the way it explains as follows is 1 mil to the first sukkah, 1 mil from the last sukkah to the cliff. That leaves 8 mil for the 4 in between. And in between each sukkah is 2. So it's 1... 2, 2, 2, 2, and then 1. That's how the math works.
In regards to Rabbi Yossi.
Exactly. V'chulan says, the Gemara, al yedei Eruv. All of these were made through an Eruv. They had an Eruv going on.
In regards to the stying, I think. To the
right.
Stying of the string.
But it wasn't, an Eruv of an Eruv of carrying an Eruv. It was an Eruv Tchumim, different types of Eruv. I mean, Erev Tchumim means you're not allowed to walk a certain distance. You can't walk 2,000 amma outside your city. So 10 or 12 mil is much more than 2,000 amma. How are you allowed to do that? By making an Erev Tchumim, which is by establishing every 2,000 amma, so you establish a suda. You place a suda that I'm going to be koveya, I'm going to be shavas here, that allows them to walk further.
So maybe that's the answer for Tosfot Yeshanim. That how can you carry on Yom Kippur, which is the same,
No, but this was an Erev Tchumim, it's an Erev Chatzeros. Erev Tchumim allows you to walk, not to carry. We're talking about Erev Tchumim.
Ah, not to carry.
Exactly. Right, we didn't learn Erev together. We only started with Pesach, we missed Erev. In 7.5 years, we'll get to Erev. So good morning.
Arivai will be Zorche,
Yes.
To be mad with you 7.5 years, would be nice.
Yes. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Sachli Elazar Bni. My son Elazar once said to me, and Sach, Rashi says, Sach Lashon of Schok al Divara. He was like kind of making fun, in a joking, in a nice way. So he said, what did my son Elazar say? Imai the Erev, if you're making an Erev Techumim, which allows you to walk further than you're really allowed to, Yecholini lasos afilu shtei sukkos vasar milin. I could have calculated such a situation where there were only 2 sukkos and within 10 mil. Right? How? So let's read through Rashi here. See, Rashi sachli elazar bini. Rashi says, "Belashon schok ayidei dvara." He was kind of joking around. "Va'amar li im ayidei eruv dialana bebeis sukkos." If you have an eruv tchumim, I could have created a situation where there were only a need for two sukkos. Sheyhu bnei Yushalayim milav noso shnei milim. First, the men of Yushalayim would escort the mishalech to 2 mil. Umisukri shona yatsu lacrosso the beis milim. Then two.
Another two.
Hare dal milim. Oh, so what's happening is as follows: he walked 2 mil, not to a sukkah. The sukkah, the Rishona, would walk 2 mil to greet him now. So he really, to the first sukkah, was only four mil. Again, the halacha was, it seems like the Ish Iti, the Meshalech himself, could walk outside the tchum.
Okay.
But the members who are escorting him couldn't.
Can't.
They need. So they can only go 2 mil. So from Yushalayim, the people escort him to 2 mil, but there's no sukkah. The members from the first sukkah would come out to greet him 2 mil. Mm-hmm. So they meet halfway, but there's no sukkah. There's still 4 mil there.
Yes.
So let's continue going with Rashi now. So
4 mil is one sukkah.
Exactly.
And then another 4 mil is one sukkah.
Exactly. So then right, 2, 4, and then the last one's going to be 2 mil to the cliff. So that's a total of two sukkahs within 10 mil. That's the basic math. Okay, we're good. So the Gemara quotes a Brisa now and says, "Kiman azla hadatanya." Who is the author of the Brisa? Chutz me'ha'achron shebehen, shelo hagia imo latzuk ela omid mirachok, v'roa es masaf. So who is the author that says, from except for the last sukkah, which did not reach the cliff, rather they would stand from the distance and look at it. Who says that in the Braisa? That must be according to Rabbi Meir. Why? Because according to the other opinions, Rashi says, that all the other opinions, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi actually held that the cliff was, the last sukkah was actually on the cliff. If you do the math, I guess different than what we said before, the way the math was done, it worked out that it was mamish on the cliff. Because if you hold those 10, let's say, for example, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said there are 9 sukkahs and there are 10 mil, so he held that there's 1 mil for each sukkah. The last sukkah is situated on the cliff. So too, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the last sukkah is situated on the cliff, different than what we said before. So who's the opinion that says the last sukkah, then people would come out of the sukkah and just watch from a distance? That has to be like Rabbi Meir. Where Meir held that the last sukkah was 2 mil away from the cliff. Okay. Continues the Gemara and says now, "Akol sukkah v'sukkah omrim lo harei mazon v'harei mayim." Each sukkah they would say to them, "Here's some water, here's some food for you." Tana me'olam lo hutzrach adam l'kach. Never did any kohen actually need this. Never did the mishalech require the food. Ela she'enu doma mishayesh lo pas b'salo mishayen lo pas b'salo. You can't compare one who has the bread in the basket, which means he has the guarantee that if he needs the food is there, and to somebody who doesn't. Somebody who's lost in the desert, let's say, but he has a whole full wagon of food.
Not worried about it.
No worries, he can have food. Someone who doesn't have the food, even though right now he may not be starving, he might be hungry, but he's so nervous, exactly. It takes a toll on the person. So psychologically, this is the concept of pas pasalo, it comforts him. Maha yu oste cholok lashon shazuris. So the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, what would the Kohen do at the cliff? So first thing we do is take the string and cut it in half. Vinisks, viniktare kule besela. Why is he split in half? Why doesn't he take the entire red string and tie the whole red string around the rock? Why doesn't he split in half? So the Gemara says, came in the mitzvah of the sayer, because the mitzvah is, she's supposed to push it off, and look at Rashi. So Rashi says, you see, keep in the mitzvah of the sayer. This is 6 lines from the bottom of Rashi. Came in the mitzvah b'sar, since the mitzvah is in the sayer, which means l'dach v'lachor, you're supposed to push it backwards. K'dich sivel eretz gzera, you're supposed to push it in eretz gzera. Gzera means to cut, davar ha-mizgaziv yor, it's something that cuts it off while it falls. Now, or it's a different, we'll see on Amr Bey's exactly the definition. I'amris niktare kule b'sela, if you say you tie the entire thing around the rock. Zimnim dekodim u'malbim, certain times the kodim dechivas asayir. So what's going to happen is sometimes, let's say the Kohen ties the string on the rock. Sometimes, because it's such a good year, the string's going to turn white before he even pushes off the goat. And then what's going to happen? Rashi says, umiyas v'daita misivchas libon hachatam. The Kohen's going to be so excited, it turned white, we're getting kapara. V'lo echpas like the Kohen misses asayir. He's going to forget about the goat and just walk off because he's so excited. And he's going to completely miss the mitzvah of the goat. The fikach, therefore, kosher b'achrona chetia ben kronov, vein of tluyim ba. Then you first, that's why you split it in half, tie some of it to the goats. U'mi'achashu osik bo b'achrona lo yuniach mildachso. Since he's an obligation to tie it around the goat, he's going to be involved in the goat, he won't forget about it. So it's not going to the effect of the white turning white does not happen until you complete tie the whole string. So by cutting it in half, first tying it on the rock and then tying it onto the goat, it won't turn white until he ties it onto the goat. Once he's involved in the goat, he won't forget to push it off. So that's supposed to be a reminder he doesn't push it off not to forget pushing off the goat from the cliff.
The Gemara doesn't discuss about the tchum to carry outside the tchum.
Gemara does not discuss it. No, that was Tosfos Yishonim only. So back to the Gemara again. The Gemara asks to read that question again. V'niktare kula b'tzel. Why not tie the entire string on the rock? Kevin de mitzvah b'sayer dilma kadam malbin. It might turn white early, the string. V'miyas v'daita, and the coin is going to be very excited, and he's going to forget about it. So the Gemara says, why don't you do this? V'naktare kula bein kronov. Why don't you tie the entire string on the goat? Why have to put half of it onto the rock? What's the point of putting it onto the rock? D'gamish le the ratio of lava daite. Zimnin the gamish le the ratio of lava daite. So what does that mean? Look at the last line of Rashi. The gamish le the ratio. Yochav rosho tachas gufo kishipo lachorov. Goat's going to tuck its head. After it falls, the head will be tucked underneath the body. The coin won't be able to see whether the string turned white or not. So that's why he had to leave part of it up on the rock, this way he could see if it turned white or not. But if it went all on the goat, it falls however far down it was.
Basically, the whole string becomes white.
Right, if the kapara was provided, right. Mark continues and says now, Tanur Rabbanan. Barishona, initially, the lacha was, Hayu Koshrin V'Loshon Shazuhuris Al Pesach Ha'ulam Nibuchatz. Initially, they'd take this red string, they'd tie it on the entrance into the hallway, where everybody was able to see it, outside the hallway. Yeah. Let's say, no pictures here? Oh, I guess this doesn't have any pictures. In the older ones, we had pictures. So the entrance to the hallway, the large ulam, the base of Mikdash, it was tied on the outside. This way, everybody who was in the base of Mikdash, all the members of Klaisa who were there, were able to see whether the string turned red or white. That was the initial way it was done. Hilbin, if it turned white, how you smeichin? They were very excited. Lo hilbun, how you atzavin? They were very sad and misbaishin. They were quite embarrassed if it didn't turn white. So then, once they got embarrassed, you know what they said? Hiskinu sheyhu koshin al pesach ulam mibifnim. Let's tie it in the inside part of the ulam where no one will be able to see it, because then they get embarrassed if it doesn't turn white. Problem was that the dainim season Ron, they'd still like peek in and able to get a glimpse whether it turned red or white. Hilbin hayu smeichim lo hilbin hayu atzavim. So finally they say, you know what? Hiskinu sheyhu koshin also hachet to beselah v'chet to ben kranav. Okay, nowhere. No one's allowed to look anymore. We're going to tie it all the way at the end of the Sari Lazazel on the goat and the rock off the cliff where only one person, namely only the Kohen, is able to see it, and no one will know the results. So that was the last tikkun, and that's what happened. So Amar of Nachman bar Papa, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ha-kafar, berishona initially, hayu koshin lashon shel zuhuris ha-pesach ulam mibifnim. So initially they used to tie it on the entrance to the ulam, on the inside, not on the outside, but the inside, according to Rabbi Lazar Kafar. V'chevin shegiyah sari l'midbar, once the goat got to the midbar, hayal malbin, it would turn white, the one on the inside. The goat was out there, once the goat reached the midbar, not necessarily push up, but it reached the desert, then the string would turn white. V'yadu shenasas mitzvasa, and they would know, the mitzvah was done with the goat, everything was done complete. Shenemar im yihu chataichem kishanim kishel galbinu. Exactly. And this is the halacha that the sins will turn white like snow. That's a reference to the string turning white. Exactly. Of course, white is a lashon of lashon impurity. The Marsha on the back talks about why red represents chet, dam nida, connects it to a lot of different things. White represents tara, that's why we wear kittel and whatnot. All the kohen gadol's special begadim were lavan. So white, of course, is purity. The Gemara continues and says now, quotes from the Mishnah, lo hayamagil mechzes hahar. By the time the goat got halfway down, it already was in bits and pieces. Evarim, evarim, says the Mishnah. The Gemara says, ibar
luhu. How tall was that? I
don't know.
Where was that man?
The man was what?
He was pushed off from.
No, it doesn't say it in Parshas.
In Achrimos?
I think it's twice the height of the person, right?
That's when it came to Skila.
Why is the height of the person? Yeah, that's, what is it? 6 foot?
No, that's for stoning.
Yeah, for stoning. Not Elacha. So the Gemara says, Ibarilu. Osen Evarim Mahein Vahana. The high school. Impressive. Those Evarim, those limbs, after the goat gets chopped up as it falls down the mountain, what's the status of the limbs? Mahein Bana, could someone come along and get Hana? Now, you obviously couldn't eat this because it wasn't a kosher shechita, but could you, let's say, use the skin, the ore, for some type of making a clothing? So Rav Shmuel had a debate. Chad Amar Mutarn, v'chad Amar Asur. One says it's Mutar, one says it's Asur.
He's down there.
Down there. So someone was walking by, he's in the desert walking by, sees a broken leg of a goat, an arm of a goat, and a heart. Could he use these for other, not food, but for something else? So it was a debate whether it was mutter or asr. Mandam or mutar, and the one who says it's permitted, why, what's the basis that you can get hana from this? Dichsib ba-midbar, the pasuk says ba-midbar, you send the goat out to the midbar. Why ba-midbar? So you look at the top Rashi, he says, dichsib ba-midbar, v'shalach es hasar ba-midbar. V'kro yaseirahi, it's an extra word ba-midbar, we know already where it's going. Why say midbar? So the drasha is lemidrash sheyehe hefker kamidbar. It should have the status of a midbar, like a midbar is hefker. Everything there is anybody could take it. So too, the goat, the limbs of the goat is going to be hefker in the midbar. Anybody's allowed to get hana from it. Uman damar asur, and the opinion who thinks it's asur, you can't get hana from these limbs. What's his basis? Dichsiv gzera. What does gzera mean? It's a decree. Rash is gzera. Lashon chomer ve'iser, strict. Gzera, it's asur. So one says gzera means asur, one says midbar implies hefker. That's the basis of the machlokas. The Gemara is going to go back and forth now. Man damar asur, in the opinion that thinks it's asur to get hana from the evarim, high midbar, my avidlei. What drasha are they going to use from the word midbar? They have to use a different drasha. They can't say midbar means hefker. My avidlei, mi baylei, they need it, lichidetani, like the Braisa teaches us. The Braisa says, hamidbara, hamidbara, ban midbar. So these three mentions of midbar are all, let's see, they're all mentioned in this pasuk here. 1, 2, 3. Okay, I think they're different.
It's
Rashi says three pasukim. I think it's machlokas, but Rashi quotes three different pasukim. Three different pasukim. So why mention three times? The Gemara says, L'rabos nov v'givon shilo ubeis olamim. To include these other locations where the Mishkan, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they had a temporary Beis HaMikdash, if you will, until they actually got to Yerushalayim. So how do you know that all these halachas apply to those other places also until they got to Yerushalayim? The fact that it says Midbar three times tells me that all the other locations here also have the same halachas of having to throw or push off the goat from the cliff. Right, these three places, again, to include Nov v'Givon, and the lachas of the Achrimos was talking about the Mishkan. How do I know it applies to Nov v'Givon, Shilom, Beis Olamim? Beis Olamim was the internal home, meaning Beis HaMikdash. That's included from these three words in the Pesukim. Now, v'idach, the opinion who held that, no, the Eivarim are actually Mutter, because the Pasuk says Midbar. Midbar means Hefker. So the Gemara asks, Ha'gzeir my overlay. What's this opinion? What are they going to do with their word Gzeirah? Because they're not using the word gzera to tell me that the evarim are aser, because they hold the evarim are mutter. So what do they do with the word gzera? Mi barilei, they need it for the following drasha. Lichidatane, the Braisa teaches us. Gzera ein gzera ela chatucha. The word gzera means to cut. So Rashi interprets chatucha to mean tzuk chatuch b'zekifa of lo mushap amishupa kokach. Not slanted. A cliff straight down. Horizontal cliff. Vertical, rather. A vertical cliff right down the line. That's what gzera means, right down the line. That's the type of cliff that you need. Davar acher, alternatively, ein gzera ela davar hamizgazer v'yored. Or, gzera could also be interpreted to mean that Rashi says, hasar mizgazer ba'evam evam. It's not a reference to the slope of the cliff, but rather to reference to the what happens to the goat that gets chopped up, cut up. That's what gzera means, cut up. Davar acher, yet a third opinion is, it's gzera. It's a gzera of Hashem. It's a decree. It's a chok. Because Shema Tomar, Maisa Tohu. A person might say, what are you doing? This is crazy. Maisa Tohu. This is chaotic. You're taking a goat, chucking it off the cliff? Doesn't make any sense.
Anyone crew at your organization.
Exactly. So, Tamalomar, Ani Hashem. Patik says, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem, Gzartiv, Vein Lechal Rishish, Laharer, Bahen. I'm Hashem, I was gozer, I'm an exera, and you cannot think twice about it. This is the halacha. So again, the opinion who thinks that the word midbar tells me that these evarim are mutter, because midbar means hefker, you can get hana. So what do they do with the word gzera? To teach one of three drushes, or all three drushes perhaps. Either gzera means a cliff has to be completely vertical, or gzera means to what happens to the goat that gets cut up, or gzera means it comes from Hashem. It's a gzera tachok. Gemara quotes from Rava, says, Amar Rava, mistabra kimand amar mutarin. It's the most logical, Rava thinks, that the opinion thinks, accordance with the one who thinks it's mutter. Why is that mistabra, that these evarim are mutter? Lo amar Torah shalach letakala. The Gemara didn't say, send off the goat, that there should be a takala. Rashi says, what's the takala? Shigim tsayim ha'adam v'yehenabahem shliyoda shehayu min hasayir. A person's going to be walking in the desert. He's going to see a broken goat and take the skin to use it for some clothing. How is he supposed to know that this was from the Sarai Mishaleach? There's no stamp on it. There's no sign. So a guy's going to walk through and going to have a takala and violate an Issa deraisa.
We see the string.
String, right? Oh, but let's say he only sees the legs, the arm. There's no string there. So this makes.
Is it really the body get cut off from that falling?
And Misha says by that what, halfway down it was a the goat was.
The inside limbs are all mixed up, but the.
Evarim refers to the limbs.
Yeah. Oh.
So again, remember it's a little goat. It's a year old, under a year old.
Imagine that you're throwing a goat from a mountain. Will it break?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think they would.
It will? The man?
They're not known as strong animals, goats.
What?
They're not known as strong animals. They don't have like a lot of meat.
They're stronger than humans.
Goats? Not too well.
No?
No.
Interesting. Let's do such an experiment.
Google it.
When we finish the daf, we'll have experiments.
So it continues the mission and says, so that's why Rava thinks it's most logical to say that the goats to the Avarim should be mutter, because it doesn't make sense to send them off the cliff and have someone stumble over them and get hana when there's in fact an iser, so therefore they're mutter. Taner Rabbanan, a very interesting Bryce, the Gemara quotes now. Azazah, what does Azazah mean? The Pasuk calls the goat, the Sarla Azazah, goes off to Azazah. What does Azazah mean? Shehei Az v'kasha. It's be strong, Az is strong, kasha and difficult. So that's a reference to the mountain, I think, to the cliff. Has to be strong and able to cut it up. Yachal bi yishuv. One might think you could do it in a yishuv, in a settled area. Tamalon ba midbar. Has to be in the desert. Uminayin shibetzuk. How do I know on a cliff? Tamalon ba gzera. Gzera, cut down the cliff. Has to be a hard place, a desert, and a cliff. Those are the three criteria. For finding the location to throw off the goat, has to be those three criteria met. Tani Idach, another Brisa says, Azazel Kasha Shebaharim. Okay. Has to be among the mountains, the hard mountains among the mountains.
In Hebrew, there's an expression. Now I know what it means. Lech Lazazel.
Right, I've heard this. This is not a very appropriate expression to my understanding, right?
When they say it, basically go to hell. But now...
Right. You really took it from Tanakh.
Everything is from Tanakh.
Yeah.
Not everything. Not all the words they say.
Okay.
The source of everything is Tanakh.
But maybe in Yavin. No, not the source of everything.
The source of everything is, is the letters, which is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, eventually. What it is.
I promise you those are not the same Osios.
Huh?
Those aren't the same Osios.
V'cheinu Omer, further it says, Ves, this is a pasuk in Yechezkel, it says, Ves eile ha'aretz lokach. The eile is like the rams of the land they take. So what are we proving from this pasuk here?
Chazak and strong.
I think it's referring to the strength, not lavdafka, the rams.
Aha, okay, I see, from Lashon Ke'el, I see. Tana the baby Rabbi Shmuel says Azazel shemechaper al ma'ase uza vazal. No, Lashon Azazel doesn't refer to the strength, the hardness of the mountain. Rather, it refers to mechaper on the actions of uza vazal. What was that? So look at Rashi. Uza vazal, malachi chavala, malachim who cause harm. Sheyardu le'eretz bimei Nama achuz tuvakain. It came down during the times of Nama, the sister of Tuvakain. Aleim nemar vayu bnei alkim es bnos adam kumar al harayos mechaper. So again, those maisim, the actions of arayos that took place in those times, it's mechaper on those arayos that took place. Says the Gemara now, Tanur Rabbanon, es mishpatei tasu. Where is this pasuk found? In Achrei Moshe also, okay. Es mishpatei tasu. So these mishpatai? Es mishpatai tasu. And my mishpatim, my actions you should do. Maybe this is Achrei Moshe, I think. Shilmolei, tasu. Dvarim, what is mishpatai? What does mishpatim mean? Mishpatim means to judge. Dvarim shilmolei lo nichtavu din hu shichtavu. Mishpatim are things that if they were not written, they were. They should have been written. They didn't need to be written. They were self understood. Ve'elohein avodas kochavim. That's pretty obvious. Not to worship any other gods. Even if Torah never wrote it, you know not to worship avodah zarah. V'gilei ra'ayos v'shvichas damim v'gezel or birchas Hashem, which is cursing Hashem. So those are logical things. Those are things that even normal cultures and societies would understand the need for such mitzvahs. So that's mishpatim. The pasuk continues. My chukos you're supposed to keep. What does chukos mean? Dvarm shasatan meishiv aleim. The thing that the satan challenges us on and says, come on, why are you doing this? See, look at Rashi, satan. Rashi's yetzer hara meishiv aleim. Yeah, tshuva lahato says Yisrael. He asks questions to try to trick us. V'lomar shatorah. Ain't no emes. The Torah is not true. Kima toelas b'choli. What's the purpose of these strange chukim that you're doing? Don't do it. The Torah is not true. So what are examples of this, says the Gemara?
So mishpatim is al pisechel v'dat, and chukot is above.
Exactly. Right. So Gemara says, what are examples of chukim? Ve'eluhin, these are the following chukim, or examples at least of chukim. Achilas chazir, eating pig. Ulvishas shatnez, shatnez makes no sense. Chalitzas yivama. Taros mitzora. Visar mishaleach. All these things are very big chukim, and therefore these are just examples. There are others as well. Maybe a person's going to say, wait a second, maybe you're right. These are very strange things. Who's doing these things? I, Hashem, I commanded them. Don't think twice about it. Don't be convinced by the Yetzirah, by the Satan. I told you to do this. Listen to what I said.
That's what a focus.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing more than just listening to Hashem simply because Hashem told you to do it. Says the Gemara now, quotes from the last line of the Mishnah. We said from the Mishnah, Rashi quoted the pasuk Nachemos, that the Mishaleach, when he sends off the goat, his begadim become tameh. And we saw the machlokas in the Mishnah, well, at what point do the begadim get tameh? Tanakama said, once he left the Chomos Yushalayim, the walls of Yushalayim is when the begadim became tameh. Rabbi Shimon held no, when he pushed off the cliff. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, the one who actually sends off the cliff as opposed to the one who sends off the sender. So Rashi says, who's that referred to? People who escort him, they don't metame begadim, only the one who's actually bringing the goat with him. One might think when he leaves the Azara, now he leaves the Azara, he's still on Har Bais, he's still in Yerushalayim. Maybe when he leaves the Azara, he should become Tameh. Tamalomar HaMishaleach. When he sends it, he hasn't started sending it. When you're still in the Har Bais, that's not considered sending it. So maybe if it's sending, maybe Iyam Mishaleach, if it's based on the word Mishaleach, Yachol Ad She Yagil Atzuk, maybe it shouldn't be until he gets to the cliff where he actually pushes off. Maybe that's the point. We should become, his begotten should become Tameh. Tamal Omar, v'hamishaleach. So Mishaleach sounds like Rashi says, see, ready, it's mashmash shilchu kfar, the Tzad HaMidbar. He already sent it off in the past. Ha-ketzad, mishayot, has to be somewhere in the middle. It can't be when he left the Azara, because he didn't start his journey yet. And it can't be where he pushed off a cliff already, because everything's been done. It has to be somewhere in between the Azara and the cliff. So where is that? Ketzad. When he leaves Yerushalayim, he's already started his shlichus. That's when he becomes tameh. And Rabbi Yehoshua Yomer Azazel v'chibes. It says the pasuk. It puts to next to each other the word Azazel next to the word chibes, which tells me ad shegil atzuk, not until it becomes Azazel, until it goes off to push off to the rock off the cliff. That's the only time that you have to start washing your clothing, and that's why Rabbi Yossi held until later. And Rabbi Shimon Omer V'amishaleach es hasayir la'azazel yichabis begadav v'zorko b'vas rosh shumatami begadam. What's the last opinion saying? So no, not when he gets to the cliff actually, but it's actually when you push it off, says Rabbi Shimon. When you actually push it off, you get there. Where when you like zorko b'vas rosh, where you throw off the head, when you throw off the head of the goat, that's the point. So there's, in fact, the Mishnah records only two opinions, but in fact, there are really three opinions. Three opinions is either when you leave Chometz Yerushalayim, when you get to the cliff, or when you actually push it off the cliff. Those are the three opinions in this halacha. Let's go on to the next Mishnah, may as well. Next Mishnah says, Balo Eitzel Par. We're back to the Avoda now. So the Kohen Gadol sends another Kohen off to push off the Sayer. What happens now in the Beis HaMikdash? Balo Eitzel Par. The Sayer HaNisrafim. The Kohen Gadol now goes back to the cow and the goat that were ready to be burnt. You took the blood already from them. The blood was all sprinkled. Now you have these dead bodies, these dead animals lying on the ground. And they're supposed to get burnt, the Torah tells us. What do? Karon, votsias emurin. You rip open their innards and you take out all the insides from them. How do they define emurin? Innards, they say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Emurehen.
Emurehen, okay. Nasan bimagis, they place them in a bowl of some sort, a plate. Viktir and agabi mizbech, and they offer the emurein onto the mizbech. Rashi quotes a pasuk. Kolon bimakalos.
Bimiklaot.
Okay. They would then get these beams and carry the on these little rods, two and two, and carry the animals hanging on them. Right? You know, have these two poles. Two and two.
You see what they do with the pig, you know. The
exactly.
The stick.
Exactly.
They saw that from us.
Right.
For sure.
They would do that. V'otzi'an the Beis HaSreifa, and they carry the dead goat and the dead cow out to the Beis HaSreifa, a certain location outside the Beis HaMikdash where things would get burnt. U'me'im asayim etamim begadim. When would these individuals also, the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Vasoref Osam Michabis Begadav. The people who burn these animals have to wash their clothing as well. At what point do these people who are burning them, are they Metame? So it says the Mishnah, Mishiyotzu Chutz Lechomus Azara. This one, when they leave the Azara, that's when the Metame, the Begadim. However, according to Rabbi Shimon, Omer Mishiyotzu Mishiyatzis Haor Berubim. When the fire gets onto most of the animals, at that point is when the Metame Begadim. That's the Machlokas here. We'll just read at least one line, two lines of the Gemara. Vik diron sakadaitach ela ema lahak tiron agave mizbech. What's the problem? Vik tiron versus lahak tiron?
So, are you doing it now? Previous thing that you need to do before that.
They put it in these karos, in these plates, in these bowls or plates, to be ready to be makdeared later on.
Yeah, let's finish this daf.
Can I finish your daf and go on?
Yeah. Why not?
On to the next, okay.
Small daf, anyways.
Okay, so the Gemara says now, Kalim b'makalos.
What day is today? Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. Kalim b'makalos. They would, again, have the rods, four people. Miklos. Why does he keep saying Miklos? Miklos. Miklos? Miklot?
Kela. Miklo.
Braid.
Braid, yeah.
Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kimin klia, like a braid. Tana lo hayu menascha niser basar ola, ela ora agavi basar. So what would they do? They wouldn't cut up the meat of the ola, rather they'd put the ola all together with the skin. So look at Rashi. Lo hayu menaschan. Lo hayu menaschan means to cut. Lo hayu menaschan hasorfan kinituach basar ola. They wouldn't cut it up like normally when you burn the ola. Shu mufshat mehena or you remove the skin. Kodem nisuach chedichse vehefshidim nisuach. Ela or agavi basar ve'ina mafshitam. Normally with an ola you would skin it and then cut up the different parts of the meat. This, rather, you leave the skin on the goat. You leave the skin on the cow and then burn it whole. How do we know this? Titania, great seeing you. Titania, the Bryce says, Rabbi Omer, Nemar kan or Ubasar Uperish. Perish, you say, right?
Uperish. Uferesh, yeah.
V'nemar l'halan, or Ubasar Uferesh. So it says here, regarding the goat and the cow of Yom Kippur, it says the words or. It says Basar, it says Perish. And it says later on, regarding the halachas of Kohen Meshuach, where Kohen Meshuach refers to the Kohen Gadol, who violates an Aveira, and he has to have a special, his behemoth also gets burnt out. It also says the words, or, Basar and Perish. So what's the connection between Yom Kippur and their Kohen Gadol who violates an Aveira? Malahalan Aide Nisuach, V'lo Aide Hefshit, Afkan Aide Nisuach, V'lo Aide Hefshit. So just like over there, when the Kohen Meshuach violates an Aveira, he has to bring an animal, and we cut up the animal without skinning it and then burning it. Here too also, we cut up the animal without skinning it when we burn it. And it's not like an ola, where the ola we skin it and then cut it. Here we leave the skin on and we cut it up that way and then we burn it. And the Gemara tomorrow will tell us, how do we know when it comes to Kohen Meshuach that he does not skin the animal before cutting it up? That'll be for tomorrow.
People start to complain that they're diving too fast.